Wow, do we ever have a ton to cram into Chapter 109.
For starters, we travel to Agen to visit the stunning Musée des Beaux-Arts d'Agen. While there, we enjoyed lunch at the Bib Gourmand restaurant La Table de Michel Dussault.
Julie will wrap up our Michelin talk with the inspector's duties and obligations. And yes, there's another Olympic update. So this is my favorite sports time of the year. As we get into the first part of April, and I'll tell you why. First of all, the Masters.
Golf.
No one calls me during the Masters.
Mm-hmm.
No one talks to me during the Masters,
no.
Right? And this is even, though there's a six-hour difference, or there will be, I'm going to come into the studio at 9 o'clock at night and start watching the Masters.
Great.
You know, so that's a big deal. That's fun.
It's a treat.
It's a treat for me. Oh, and, you know, maybe I'll be... Yeah, texting Howard every once in a while. Although he's very limiting on his exposure during
engagement during
very little
the watching of the Masters.
I will send him a note and he'll go, yeah, that's a very good observation. Now leave me alone. You know, that type of thing.
Yeah, okay, that's good.
So you know, there's that. Number two, baseball starts this week.
Okay,
baseball regular season, Major League Baseball starts this week. Very excited about. My St. Louis Cardinals and hopes of getting into the playoffs.
That's always been your favorite team?
Always been my favorite team. Also very excited about the Blue Jays. Love the Toronto Blue Jays.
Okay.
And I think the whole season kind of revolves around Vladimir Guerrero Jr. If he has a good season, I think the Jays are going to be poised to possibly win the AL East. And last and certainly least... We're also very close to when the Toronto Maple Leafs gag up yet another first-round playoff series because they're going to get tuned by Boston this year. It's going to be something fun to watch.
And your team in hockey has always been the Montreal Canadiens,
yeah,
but right?
Montreal is a disaster right now.
Okay.
So we just try not to talk about them.
Okay.
But it is fun watching the Leafs get eliminated each and every year since 1967. But the baseball sort of brings me to our first little mini topic here today, because I was I did bring all my baseball gear here.
Just
I couldn't get rid of it.
Yeah, well, you love the sport. I mean, back in Canada, you even played.
I played old timers baseball for years, at the Hobo Hamilton Old Timers Baseball Organization.
Okay.
And you know what? It was a great time in my life. But I kept all my catching stuff. I got all the tools of ignorance ready to go. And I went into our big barn, which has been really wet this year.
Oh, right? Wow.
Humid.
It's rained a ton.
So my gloves are all moldy, and I just can't treat them this way. So you were kind enough to go pick mm-hmm. me up some...
there's a product for everything.
Yep. A little refurbishing...
Rejuvenating.
Leather cream.
A cleaner and conditioner.
Yep. So I start cleaning them up, and I'm bemoaning the fact that I'm never going to be able to use these gloves again. And you were so kind to do something that I never even dreamt of doing.
So I just decided to go to the Google machine and see if, par chance, there was a baseball league in the Lot-et-Garonne, which is our area.
Because all you see here are soccer fields. Oh, there's a rugby field. Soccer, mm-hmm. soccer, rugby.
Yeah.
So that's all you see.
Yeah. So by just pure happenstance, there was an article written in a French newspaper that was describing this new league that just started in 2024. And it gave the information on how to reach the people who are organizing this league. And they also had a Facebook page. So down we went into
the rabbit hole
of trying to figure out whether or not you could go and play with the boys.
So we find out that the nearest league team is in Agen.
Mm-hmm. It's the only one in Lot-et-Garonne.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it's a league that practices once a week.
Okay.
In Agen, mm-hmm. at one of the parks. And I read that they're lobbying to get an official baseball diamond in a close community okay. nearby. So through the Facebook page, Jeff, you contacted someone who was on the team, and they gave you the telephone number of the coach and president of this association.
Yeah.
And of course, I
passed the phone over to
you. Mom, who spoke, who left a message for Mr. Jeremy, and he was nice enough to call back within a very short period of time. And we had a lovely conversation about my boy Jeff.
He heard that Jeff Lumbee's in town. He's going to call right away. I mean, there's a catcher from, that's a Hall of Fame quality catcher right there. So, you know, of course he's going to call you right away.
Anyway, so it was lovely. And you were just chomping at the bit. Like you wanted, they practice on Saturdays. Is that what they call it? A practice? Baseball
that's
practice?
That's right. Yeah, yeah.
So on Saturdays, but this Saturday, because Easter is upcoming, there is no practice. So you were so disappointed. Again, I felt like you were 12 years old. I said, now, Jeff, it'll give us time to get, you know, our act together. And then he said, but there are a few forms that you need to fill out.
So here we go. Here we go with more French
administration.
And you guys, we make fun of the administration here in the paperwork, but it's just unfathomable from a Canadian perspective. So have you got all your papers?
Yeah, well, can barely lift it up. So there were five different documents. The first one is the team schedule. So
okay, that's logical.
So I still don't understand, like, there are two different categories. There's competitive play,
yeah.
and then there's just having fun. So
and then there's also hardball and
softball.
And fastball, yeah.
Yeah. So this schedule is for the competitive league, and they travel quite a distance. Like mm-hmm. they're in Bordeaux, they're in Pau, they're in Pessac, Brive. I guess you have to travel that far
to find other teams. Well,
yes.
And here's the thing. I looked at these guys. They look fairly young. Like, I doubt that I would make this team. I'm sure they're really good. They have, some photos of the guys in pitching action. And you know, honestly, they look like 20s, 30s, 40s, maybe 50s, certainly not where I am. So maybe I end up being like, maybe I warm up the pitchers, which, you know what? I could do that all day long. It's my favorite. Just sit back there, catch pitches from really good pitchers. I'd do that all day long. But anyway, we still don't even know if I'm, because I don't even know if I'm going to be able to make the team based on all these forms.
Well, the second form is a license. You need to be licensed.
You have to have a license to play baseball.
Right. Whether it's for fun or for competition, you need to have a license from La Fédération Française Baseball et Softball.
Okay.
And it's a quite a lengthy document.
Okay.
The association, there is a nominal fee to be able to play and
yeah,
be part
standard.
Of that league. That's fine. So then, yes, so formulaire. The next is what you need to fill in to get your license. So formulaire de prise de licence, and majeur means that you're over 18. So you, again, questions, birthdays, addresses, emails. You need to provide a medical certificate, which we'll get to right now, which is another document. Questionnaire relatif à l'état de santé du sportif majeur, and it's a three-page document, and this will need to be signed by a physician, by your general practitioner.
Fantastic.
And there are questions that, based on the last 12 months, are you on drugs? Are you, have you had any operations? Have you had any surgeries? What do you call it when it's a medical condition?
Chronic
medical conditions. So you need to go through this. We'll need to go through this together.
Oh, boy.
And
can't wait.
Again, you're relying on me to make sure that you're saying the right thing. Then, yes, you need to get a certificat médical d'absence de contre-indication à la pratique sportive. So this is the certificate that your doctor will have to sign, saying that there's nothing that prevents you from playing baseball and running around. So that's kind of that. So, you know, we'll take a good half a day and fill this out.
Just what you wanted, more
just
form filling.
Just what I wanted, more form filling.
Here's the thing. You know, you got insurance there, you got medical, you got, I just want to throw the ball around. Okay, that's all I want to do. I just want to chuck a baseball around.
What kind of paperwork did you have to fill out in Canada?
All you had to do is you just had to fill out a form similar to like when we went and rode those ATVs.
The 4x4, yeah.
Yeah, just a...
A release form.
A release form.
From their liability if anything happens.
That's it.
Yeah.
Sign that. Bob's your uncle. Go play baseball. Have fun. Where's your money? That's it. Yeah, well, this is... And in total, including the insurance policy that they sent along, we're talking about... close to 60 pages of stuff so that an old guy can go out
and pitch a ball
and throw a baseball. Catch. This is France. Welcome to it. Anyway, so the first practice, if I make it there, like, do I have to give up any organs or anything
no,
for this?
I don't think so.
So the first practice is next Saturday. I'm going to go there regardless. I'm probably going to have more problem with the language barrier than anything else. But, hey, you know, music and sports, it brings everybody together. So we'll see what happens. I am looking forward to it.
Well, and you said you had a hard time sleeping because you were so excited.
I was very excited. I couldn't sleep last night. I had a very rough sleep. I kept waking up thinking of, you know, either making a good play or a bad play or hitting the ball or do I remember my hitting stance, and all these things are going through my head.
I feel like I'm living with a 12-year-old and I'm the mom who's getting him into Little League.
Yeah, and then Julie says, well, I've done that. Now all I have to do is find you a band to play in. So speaking of red tape, before we get to our major topics on chapter 109 here of our podcast, a while ago we discovered that there was a government initiative, this is over and above your insurance, to cover the massive dry spell that happened here in 2022 with respect to cracks in your foundation and that type of thing. So we took a look around and we had a couple of issues. One on our newly paved driveway, where things have started to slowly separate.
Yeah, there are fissures, quite a few fissures.
Fissures, good word. Mm-hmm. And then there was one in our terrace around the pool. So we thought, you know what, this probably qualifies. So we applied just before the deadline in October of last year. And in November, we did a test, because the way this was going to do is they're not going to send out a person. No. We have to do a test with our camera, because that's how they're going to ultimately determine whether we qualify.
Right. Now, having said that, there were many villages that were affected by the drought in 2022. So the experts probably have a fairly large mandate.
Well, of course they do, because in November they assigned us our date, which was March 25th. So think about that. That's almost like a carte de séjour application. So we had our first of all, they send you an SMS, test your camera. So we go in there, we can't even log on. And we finally figured out how to log on.
Yes.
We tested our camera.
Yes.
Everything worked.
Yes. Yeah. We had a lot to do before we even got to speak to the fella who was doing the expertise.
Yeah.
So the other thing was an email that was sent where we had to upload information about our property and
including photos
of the damages that we're claiming, and that was really weird because our damages were exterior, like not part of our house, but the first chunk of this this document asked us for information about our property,
right,
our house. And so we muddled through that.
Sent what we could.
And then we were scheduled to, through a link, contact the expert at 1400 hours.
So they have been SMSing me the whole time. So we are linked up that way. They've got my number. My number's registered. I'm registered. So 2 o'clock on the 25th, I dial up the number and a message comes back. You are not registered. This is not your day. Goodbye.
Loser.
Yeah, loser. Which is, you know, this is how life goes for us. This is how life goes. And we're only doing this because, by the way, the maximum they can repay us
The
government can repay us is like 1,500 euros. So we're going, maybe after all of the crap that we've been through here in France, maybe they're going to throw us a little bone. Wouldn't that be nice? So we finally, then Julie has to call a number.
There's a number that we call, someone answers and said, oh. Okay, we'll get the expert. They'll call you in the next 5 minutes.
Which they did, amazingly.
Yeah, and nice gentleman. And he explains in French that he is going to ask questions about our house, and then he'll move on to the expertise. So the part about our house took, I want to say, a half hour.
Yeah, exactly. And so we're Julie's trying to say, you know, you do understand, like, okay, the problem, the damage is outside. Like, why are we asking how many bathrooms we have and that kind of thing? Oh, well, we have to, you know, determine that you had proper insurance in the first place. So then he starts, I got to go start measuring rooms.
Yeah.
So I've got my little digital deal, thank God. And I'm measuring everything from the barn to the gîte to the studio to the main house. And finally, I'm like, hey, nosy neighbor, I didn't know we need to invite Pythagoras over here to show a simple crack in our terrace. Like, what the hell? So, I mean, honestly, I'm running around. I'm out of breath. I'm running around. Julie's sending me all over the place measuring things. And then he goes, well, this doesn't correlate with the numbers that we have in your insurance form. Oh, come on.
Well, we were able to work it out because we'd given total square meters for the barn, but it doesn't count if it's just an overhang.
So
we had to, anyway, we made it work. Finally, we get to the expertise, which probably
we're an hour in,
yeah.
And we've been standing outside waiting for this fine gentleman to get to the camera thing. And so it finally happens.
So he asks for us to bring our phone to take a picture of the terrace and then to go over and do an overview of the fissures on the driveway. And then he says, okay, so this is the conclusion. The state of France, l'État, won't cover any of your damages because they're exterior. They only cover foundational issues of your dwelling.
If I was on the phone and that was an English call, I would have gone up one side and down the other to the degree where I would have said, hey, Francois, why didn't you just say that in the first place instead of dragging my ass all over this property, taking these measurements? Why didn't you just take a picture and go, oh, sorry, you don't qualify?
Well, I go even further back. Our insurance company knew what our claim was.
Yeah.
They should have said right away, sorry, the French government does not cover anything that doesn't have a foundation, is the logic.
But here's the thing. Anything that's simple, okay, and logical to all of our minds, everyone listening right now, all your minds and all our minds, will never happen here because that would be easy. And what they try to do here is they try to, there's the baseball stuff. Look at all that baseball stuff. Thanks, lawyers. And what they try to do here is drag out administration as long as they can because that's the way it works. They've got to have a million people employed doing jobs that are duplicated 15 times. I'm telling you, it is so frustrating being here because there is absolutely no effort, zero effort to streamline anything.
Yeah. Well, that was a colossal waste of time. What happened to the days where, you know, someone could just straight up take a look at a file and say, this is good, this is no good, or have an inspector show up in person instead of having the client do, I would say, 85% of the work.
That's another good point. What are we doing? We're the ones paying the
premium.
The premium. What the heck? Why are we running around like chickens with our heads cut off doing all your measuring? And by the way, why didn't you just take the measurements, which are very accurate, that are within our insurance policy because we had to give them that? And I had to run downstairs, go through old files, and give them the last insurer that we had.
Well, that's because we switched insurance in the middle of 2022, which was the period of...
Yeah, but none of that should have mattered because
This doesn't apply to you because it's exterior. Sorry.
Anyway, that's enough of that. I'm all wound up now, but geez, I'm telling you, it's just, this is what we deal with here. And I mean, if you're thinking of moving to France, give it another check because this is the stuff that goes on a daily basis. And, you know, poor Julie's talking to this guy and I could see at the end after, and he's still trying to explain things to you.
Yep.
And it was just like, okay, good. We're done. Go away.
It. Yeah. Yeah.
Go on to your next relentlessly long call.
Ugh. Anyway, yeah, waste of time. Bottom line, government's not going to
no
help.
Money for you.
Yeah. But let's move on to something that was really enjoyable.
Oh, yes. I feel like throwing on some classical music because we did partake in a lovely museum yesterday.
We did. Le Musée des Beaux-Arts d'Agen. It was founded in the late 1800s. And it's kind of cool because it's a conglomeration of four separate hotels,
right?
Small hotels that were put together over time, mm-hmm. Some dating way back to the 1600s. So when you're going through the museum, it's really cool to see the different architecture.
Yeah, because they've joined them up. It looks like, I didn't even notice that until you mentioned it on the way home, actually.
Yeah, but. So it was really quite fantastic. I particularly liked the Bronze Age exhibit that was with the earthenware and the glass. You know, it was the first room when we entered.
Yeah.
And that was a donation, actually. You know, a lot of Syrian and Lebanese articles. And they had beautiful cases. And they also had drawers that pulled out. So you could, and there was more collection in every drawer. It was like kind of like Christmas. You're pulling out to see what's in the drawers. So.
And it's just a beautifully laid out, clean, spacious museum. We were like two of five people in the entire museum. It was just beautiful to roam around. They have sculptures. They had glass from, and one of my favorites was what was the oldest thing? What do you call it?
Prehistoric.
Well, yeah, but it was Neolithic. What was that? I don't know.
Well, it's stuff that dated back,
150 million years?
2.5 million years BC.
That's what they figure out. Before Christ. I mean, it was staggering.
And that was, those were mainly hunting articles.
Yeah.
You know, the spearheads and...
Well, there certainly weren't any iPhones. Yeah, no, exactly.
But that part of the museum, the prehistoric, is in one of the oldest buildings, and it was purchased by the municipality before it became a museum to become a prison.
And they still have they still have, like it looks like a torture chamber down there.
Yeah, they still have the iron
handcuffs,
handcuffs.
Yeah.
But great. And then there's beautiful paintings, Spanish artists, French artists.
A lot of impressionist art in there, which I just love.
Really cool. And they have cool things for kids. They had a whole room with this well-known
interactive
artist.
Interactive.
Yes. Yeah. Her name is Jessie. Désolé. So if you say it quickly, it's just je suis désolé, which is I'm sorry. And she paints monsters.
Yeah.
And they were really cool. And kids could write her notes. And there was a little theater where they could act out. And walls filled with all these fantastical monsters. And
it sounds as though she's very popular among, kids. And her stuff is so weird that you can see how it would be an immense inspiration to kids who are, you know, interested in art.
Yes. And, you know, we saw, I would say, half of the art and the objects that are in the museum. We're going to go back a second time at some point.
With our friends.
Yeah.
Because we have friends who are much more well-educated in this form of art. They're
artisans.
Yeah, they're artisans themselves with sculptures and stuff. So it'll be interesting to get their take on some of this if they haven't been already.
Yeah.
But we'll be seeing them later today and we'll tell them all about it. That was really interesting. And you know what? I know we haven't gone to a lot of museums, but this is one that if you come and visit us, we'd be happy to take you to because it's just stunning and really
it's one of
interesting.
One of the richest museums in Southwest France.
Yeah.
You know, just in terms of the volume of objects and art that they have.
And you can walk right up to the painting. There's no separation. It's not behind glass. Mm-hmm. I mean, I had my hands behind my back. I just, you know, you're in front of a 17th century painting and you just don't even want to almost breathe on it, right?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
By the way, they do allow photos to be taken. So I will include a whole bunch of photos from the museum on the Facebook page at Jeff and Julie Move to France.
Yeah. And just before going to the museum, we decided that we would get some nourishment. And we're on this Bib Gourmand kick right now because it's a really cool concept. It's fine dining, but at a reasonable price offered by the Michelin Guide. So we looked up a restaurant in Agen, and its name is La Table de Michel Dussault, and it's in a hotel, which is kind of, it's not a standalone. It's in the Mercure Hotel in Agen, but it's a separate entrance, and you go in, and it's a really funky, clean, well organized layout, and again, open kitchen. We saw Chef Dussault preparing meals with his brigade, and it was just, you know, first impression was really welcoming.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? They were so nice. Like I was even able, I said, est-ce possible pour une photo de la cuisine? Oui, 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 pas de problème. So I went over and took a shot of them working away in the kitchen, which is really cool. I love that.
Yep. Yeah. And this particular chef, I think, has a real love for beef. He had a whole special fridge.
Curing beef.
Now, it's not given away, that's for sure.
Well, I don't see me spending 66 euros on a steak, which is $100. But you know what? I've had such horrible experience with beef, I might have to take a plunge there one day because it looked amazing.
Yes. So we sit down, and there's always the, like, I think it's kind of a thing with these restaurants. There's always the amuse-bouche that gets served before you have your appetizer. And it was a pretty good menu du jour. So a three-course lunch was 28 euros.
Yeah, and then whatever you're drinking on top of that. That's not a problem. You know what? We've
spent more on worse food.
Exactly. That's the best way to put it.
Yeah. And the service is great. Everything, you know, from the place settings to the glasses to the flatware, everything is, you know, epic.
Yeah.
So we both ordered the same thing. We started off with a Mediterranean fish soup. I loved it. You're not a fish soup kind of guy. So
well,
I was surprised you chose that.
Well, I didn't want the other thing. I had most of it. It was fine.
Yeah.
But the main was un-freaking believable, off the maps.
Mm-hmm. So we had a beautiful piece of fish.
Yeah.
What was it? It was cabillaud.
Cabillaud, which is cod.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then I had some cheese. You had dessert. It was a very wonderful experience, and we never felt rushed. The timing of the plates came perfectly.
And we also had a really nice discussion with the maitre d', or one of the serving staff. I don't know, but he was a former restaurant owner, it turns out.
Yes, and we told him that we went to another Bib restaurant in Lausanne with Chef Clément, and he said, oh, he was here having lunch yesterday.
Isn't that bizarre?
And then he proceeded to say that they all help each other out. So if they find a really good supplier, then they, you know, they share.
I love that.
Yeah, exactly. And so while we were dining there, there was a big plaque in on the wall, and it had a French phrase. So it will be our French phrase of the day.
Now, full disclosure on this French phrase of the day. I noticed it on the wall. So I had a couple of questions for Julie. So this is not going to be my first take at this thing. But it's a great phrase, so I'll let you go ahead.
Okay. La table. Objet magique qui relie le corps et l'esprit des femmes et des hommes.
So, first of all, la table, and then it's NF.
Nom féminin.
What is that? So
it's telling you that it's a noun.
Ah.
And it's feminine.
Oh, I see. Like you would see in the dictionary. I got it.
NF, right? So yeah. if it was a masculine noun, it would be NM.
Ah, well, I see. Okay. So that's, yeah, la table, NF, and then... definition, you know, like a colon.
Mm-hmm.
Objet magique. Now, what I had to ask you was relié.
Right, relié.
Relié and core. And then I felt like an idiot after you took... But I honestly did not know that core, C-O-R-P-S...
Very close to corpse.
Yeah, his body.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, is the object of magic... Who, and then you told me that relie is bind?
Yeah, binds.
Binds the body and soul or spirit of men and women.
Yes, that's right.
So you tell me actually what your English definition is, because I know I'm not quite right.
No, it was really bang on. It's a magic object that binds the body and soul of men and women.
Yeah, a table.
A table.
A table, yeah.
It's cool. Table.
And isn't that the best? That's one of the reasons I love going out for dinner, you know, and we do it often, or lunch. It's such a peaceful time, and you get to talk and have fun.
Yeah, food really helps, you know, bring people together.
Yeah.
So, you know, one of the nicest things is dining with friends.
No, exactly. It really is.
So once again, la table, objet magique qui relie le corps et l'esprit des femmes et des hommes.
Time now for another Paris 2024 Olympic update.
Okay, we have a couple of quick Olympic updates. Yours is pretty serious.
So this past Sunday, the Prime Minister, Gabriel Attal, declared that we were in the highest terror threat level. And that is due to the bombing and the killings in Moscow. Other European countries are taking note, but this is pretty important considering that the Olympics are just a few months away.
But I honestly believe that the Olympic Committee was looking for an excuse to raise the level to 4, because what that allows them to do, once they've adjusted that threat level and pushed it to the max, is it allows them to put troops... You know,
more military and more
military
and more police
presence. Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah.
So I think, honestly, one way or the other, by even, you know, April, May, we were going to have a threat level head up to 4. I just think that's my thought.
Yeah. Well, I mean, other countries, Italy is considering, you know, it. I think we're in Europe, and when something so heinous happens, and, you know, it was, I believe, Ice K that took credit.
Yeah.
You have to be very
vigilant. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So that, you know what, I'm in favor of it, and I hope that these Olympics go off, without a hitch. And you have to put your trust in these people because they're dealing with it. They've got the best security people in the world mm-hmm. helping out here. And, mm-hmm. you know, and let's just hope everything works out. For me, I'm really hoping for the float down the Seine as something that doesn't get canceled. My little story about the Olympics has something to do with that. The opening ceremonies are on July 26th. Thousands of athletes from all over the world will be heading down the river, unless you're from Belarus or Russia.
Right.
You are not allowed to join in because, and you know what? This is another thing. Oftentimes I disagree with what's going on in France. This one has been perfectly handled from top to bottom. Let me explain. So Russia and Belarus are banned from team sports at the Olympics. But what
yes.
they've decided to do is to allow the athletes to come and perform individually with neutral status.
Right. They're not representing their country.
That's right. Yeah. The athletes must first be approved by the governing body of their individual sport and then by an IOC-appointed review panel. And they cannot have publicly supported the invasion of Ukraine or be affiliated with military or state security agencies, blah, 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 on and on and on. Now, in total, they expect 36 neutral athletes with Russian passports and 22 with Belarusian passports to qualify for the games. However, they will not be allowed to take part on the closing ceremonies or the opening ceremonies because that is all about your team.
That's right. You're wearing your team uniform.
Yeah.
Carrying
Here comes
team
Canada.
Flag. That's right.
Yeah. Here's France.
So where will they go?
They will watch from the stands.
Okay.
They will watch from the stands.
Okay.
And any of the medals that they may win, the neutral athletes, they won't be counted as a collective group in the overall medals table. Instead, they'll be replaced by a jade green flag that will be used for all of the neutral athletes' medal ceremonies.
Interesting.
So, yeah, no, I really like this because, first of all, you're not booting the athletes out. It's not their fault.
Yeah.
You know? And this is why I had such a problem with Wimbledon a couple of years ago, not allowing the Russian players to play. They're not representing Russia. They're just tennis players. So, you know, like guys like Daniel Medvedev and stuff, you know, I think as long as they qualify accordingly, mm-hmm. similar to this IOC directive, then there is no reason not to let them perform.
Good point.
So that is our Olympic update for this week. I'm sure there's going to be another one next week.
I know you're probably Michelin'd out, and this will probably be the last time that we'll talk about the Michelin Guide.
Yes.
It's so French, though. I mean, you know, it's ingrained in the culture here. But Jeff, you were mentioning that you thought that was a dream job to be a Michelin inspector.
Well, you just go to restaurants and eat and
yeah.
drink. What could be better than that?
So I found there's actually an open position. If you want to apply.
Well, something tells me you'd never see me again. So maybe this is why you're telling me.
Okay. So here are the responsibilities. And this is for a position in the U.S. of A. Okay?
Okay.
Maintain 100% anonymity, both individually and of team members.
Oh.
Perform inspection meals, lunch, dinner, daily across assigned markets.
Oh, you got to be able to, you must have to work out because otherwise you're just going to be putting on the pounds,
would
think.
I read somewhere that they pay for your, they reimburse you for your health club membership.
Okay.
So you're eating 10 meals.
A week in a restaurant.
A week, yes. You need to compose a detailed report of each meal, but you can't take notes during the meal.
Oh.
You also have to be savvy about social media and how the content is provided. You need to be able to organize your travel. You do that yourself. And you travel 3 weeks out of the month.
Oh.
So that's a big deal. And with this particular job, you're also traveling to Canada.
Oh, cool.
And you need to be able to write up a report. So you need to be a good writer. You need to coordinate with the editorial team, make sure everything is proofread, make sure that you fact check everything. And you need to manage all of your business expenses because, you know, you're traveling, you're eating out, so you need to make sure that you provide good backup for your expenditures.
Maybe this is, and in part, explains the money aspect from last week's podcast, because these are all things that cost bucks.
Yes. And, you know, if they get brought into the program, there's training. Like, you're going to piggyback with senior inspectors all over the world, France, Japan, where to be able to appreciate different kinds of cuisine. So qualifications, bachelor degree in culinary arts, food studies, or hotel management, or an equivalent degree. 10 years experience in hotel, restaurant, or other relevant industries, attention to detail, natural sensory talent for tasting and analyzing food.
Oh, yeah. See, I'd have to eat Chev and I'd be out because I can't eat goat's cheese.
Yeah. It's just like the baby cheese.
It's the devil's.
Give me cheddar. Give me cheddar. Okay. And you also need to be flexible with your hours. Have no problem with working in the evenings. You need integrity, discretion, respect for the requirement of anonymity. I that comes up all the time. Mm. And extensive knowledge of ingredients and culinary techniques.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
What do they get paid, these guys?
For this particular job, it was between $85,000 and $95,000
a year. But you're eating the best foods in the world. And you're getting paid to do it. I don't know. Yeah. I know there's a lot of detail stuff in there, obviously. And you probably don't. This is probably a limited time job. Like it's probably got a due date. You know what I mean?
Well, they say that the average inspector lasts 5 years.
Oh, okay.
So
it's an adventure.
It is an adventure. But yeah. So you are bound to suspect if someone is dining alone in your restaurant that they're an inspector.
Well, yeah, and yesterday there was a guy in the restaurant. Now, he was not, he was like a, to me, almost a bordering on a construction worker in this restaurant.
No, he was just casually dressed.
He could have been a guy.
Yeah, it could have been. Yeah, because, you know, they book the restaurants under false names. They give wrong telephone numbers.
It's almost like they're in the witness protection program.
Well, it's like they're the CIA of food.
CIA food. Well, that should wrap up our Michelin. But it all happens this month, right? It all happens in March. All these new stars come out, so that's why we focused on it. And we are fortunate enough that we do have quite a few of these restaurants around here. So we just wanted to go a little bit down that rabbit hole of the Michelin star and Bib Gourmand restaurants. We hope you enjoyed that. Coming up on next week's show, we will run down the 2024 list of the happiest countries in the world and why some former happy countries are now sad countries. So join us next Friday on Jeff and Julie Move to France During a Global Pandemic.
À très vite.